So during this autumn season, we are following a series both here in church and in our small groups during the week on sharing the good news, or evangelism as we call it in the church, what it means to share the good news. Last week, Johan helped us to answer or begin to answer the question, what is evangelism? And we saw then through the Old Testament that evangelism is really one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's all it is. One person who's found an answer to their need, telling somebody else where to go and find the same answer. And Jay is going to come this morning and help us to explore that question a little bit further with a passage from the New Testament. What is evangelism? But before that, Rui is going to come and read to us that passage from Acts chapter 8. And then Jay is going to come and help us to understand God's word.
Reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 38. Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be with you, to worship with you, and to bring God's word. And I was struck by the privilege that Philip has of explaining God's word to the Ethiopian official, and I have that same privilege this morning. So let's pray for God's Spirit to be with us as we consider it. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you revealed the love of God to us completely in your life, your death and your resurrection. And we pray that we would see you more clearly as we study your word, that we'd understand the great love of God made known in Christ. For each of our lives we pray. In your precious name, amen. I want to begin my sermon by asking a few questions. And the first question is, put your hand up if you went somewhere nice on holiday over the summer. Who wants to tell me? Yeah, you went somewhere nice. So where'd you go?
Gran Canaria.
Gran Canaria. Pretty good. Lovely. And have you told other people about that great holiday that you went on?
Yes.
Great. Anybody been to see a movie recently? Anybody been to the cinema or seen a film on Netflix or on Amazon that they enjoyed? Yes.
Downton Abbey.
Did you tell anybody about Downton Abbey after you went to see it? I thought so. Yeah, we've been catching up with a box set of Downton before we actually watched the movie because we'd be out of it. So we've caught up, now we can go and see the movie. Anybody had a great meal at home or been to a great takeaway or a great restaurant and you enjoyed that? Anybody eating some good food? Yes.
Yeah, I've been Chinese.
Yeah, you enjoyed some Chinese. Was it from a local takeaway or somewhere? Brilliant. You see, we're happy to talk to our friends and our neighbours and our family about things that we enjoy. About when we've gone to a great destination on holiday, if we've gone to see a great film, if we've gone to a restaurant, it's natural to share that. In fact, it kind of brings a sense of completion and fulfillment of that particular activity when we get to praise it to other people, when we get to share that with other people. And that same spirit is what I want to talk about when we think about what is evangelism. We're willing and ready to praise holidays, films, meals. Are we also ready to share the good news of who Jesus is? My brother-in-law, Paul, he's not a Christian. My wife and he, my wife is one of seven children, good Catholic family, they were brought up in the Catholic Church, but many of her brothers and sisters went away from the Lord, and Paul would definitely not describe himself as a Christian. He's known me all our married life. My wife and I, we've been married for 28 years now, and he knows and likes and respects the fact that I'm a vicar, but even though he'd been to carol services that I'd led, he'd heard me preach and teach, I mentioned only this last Christmas the word evangelical, that I would describe myself as an evangelical. It had never come up in conversation before that. And he was like taken aback, because the only association that he had with evangelicals was what we might describe as US conservative evangelicals, who he conceived to be Donald Trump supporters, and he's not a Donald Trump supporter, let me put it that way. And it was like a shock to him that I should call myself an evangelical, because it's just a loaded term for him. And yet that idea of evangelism and evangelical has become something of a loaded term for a lot of people. But as we know, I hope, it means the good news, sharing the good news. And I'm comfortable to talk about being an evangelical and to explain the word to my brother-in-law and to other people. But I also recognize that it is a loaded word. And sometimes it's simpler for me just to talk about sharing my faith. Sharing my faith. And we're going to think about what does it mean to share our faith in word and deed today. And the Acts of the Apostles passage that we have, and the book of Acts, is a fantastic place to start as we think about doing that. A writer and pastor called Timothy Keller says this. He says, over and over again, the book of Acts says there is no one culture to which Christianity belongs more than another. Jesus, in the very beginning, said the gospel is for every tribe, tongue, and nation. Christianity is wonderfully inclusive. Wonderfully inclusive. And yet, in some respects, it is the most exclusive faith as well, because it points to the uniqueness of Jesus, the Son of God. So in our faith sharing, evangelism holds together the tension that we are the most inclusive of all faiths, because we are wanting to connect with everybody, but we're exclusive about the way we talk about Jesus. And I think I often get this the wrong way round. I can be exclusive about who I want to talk to Jesus about, usually people who are like me or who are, in my eyes, better than me. I want to talk to them about Jesus. Maybe you're the same. But I'm inclusive about how I describe Jesus to other people, because I sometimes water down the uniqueness of who Jesus is, and we can describe him like another prophet or teacher or miracle worker, when he is so much more than that. He's so different from that. We lose confidence in who Jesus is and what he has done. We lose confidence in our ability to connect with people who are different from us. So today, and I'm so glad that over these few weeks and in your small groups, you are seeking to grow in a proper confidence in who Jesus is. That's fantastic. And I get to do that in church, to encourage people into that proper confidence of what it means to follow Jesus. So this morning, I want to look at this passage with you in the time that I've got left. And I want to think about what it means to be led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. We're going to think about this passage, and I invite you to have it open before you as well as we explore it. Because our sharing of faith is ultimately led by the power of God's Spirit. We need to remember that first and overall. It isn't about you, it isn't about me, it's about God. So let's look at this passage together. The first thing to say is that we are to listen to God. God speaks, God is sovereign. And this is what Philip does. He listens to God. I don't know if you know the story of Philip, but if you go back into Acts chapter 6, you'll see that Philip is one of the deacons who is called amongst the seven to minister to widows and others who are hungry from the Greek-speaking community. The Acts of the Apostles has already become, in Acts chapter 6, an international church. There are Jews and there are Greek speakers. And with this comes problems of life, not problems of death. Do you know that? Sometimes I used to talk to my church, it's great to have problems of life, not problems of death. Here we have a problem of life. We've got a problem of growth. We've got a problem of diversity. We've got a problem of inclusion. It's a problem of life. It's not a problem of death. And the church finds an answer to this by appointing Philip with six others to become administrators and servants to the hungriest of the hungry, those who need to be fed. And Philip does this with a full and a joyful heart. But the wonderful thing about Philip is that he listens to God. He goes beyond his role description as a deacon in the life of the church. When the persecution comes, he goes beyond that to reach out to others and to share the good news. And in chapter 7, earlier on in chapter 8, you can read that. Philip has already been doing that. And now he listens to God afresh, and he is willing to be guided by God on a journey. And that's the first and most important element of evangelism for you and I. We need to be women and men, boys and girls, who are listening to God. Beginning each day by saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Who do you want me to speak to today? How do you want me to communicate your love to people today? I'm available." Are we people who listen to God? Secondly, I just want to tell you this to be upfront. In the adventure of sharing our faith, there will be times where you need to put yourselves out. You need to walk across a room to go towards somebody who is on their own, who isn't got somebody to speak to, because you've had a divine prompting that that's what God wants you to do. Or you need to do what Philip did, which is to listen to God and to go down to the desert road, go down to the Gaza road. Now, that is not a small journey. From Jerusalem to Gaza, you're talking 50 miles down the desert road. And it's like the two-bit town at the end of the desert road. He's being called right out of his comfort zone. He's starting to go into, as it were, alien enemy territory. He's not where he wants to be. And also, you know, the church is under persecution at this time. But he's willing to go out of his comfort zone. He's willing to put himself out, to break down barriers and take risks as the Spirit prompts him. And we need to be ready to do the same. So, brothers and sisters, I'm just saying this is the most exciting adventure that we can go on, to share our faith with others and see others draw near to Jesus as we draw near to him as well. But we need to develop a little bit of resilience in this. And if I'm going to help you in studying God's word and in developing as women and men who are ready to share their faith, then I need to be honest with you about that resilience that we're going to need. Expect to put yourself out from time to time, whether it's walking across a room or it's going across the road or speaking to people. But in that, we don't need to be scared. Don't be scared to connect to people who are different to yourself. Now, I know, speaking for myself, and maybe it's true for you, that we quite like speaking to people who are a bit like ourselves, because we feel comfortable about that, because we think we've got things that we can share and connections that we can make. But actually, some of the most exciting adventures that God will take us on is out of our comfort zone. I know that here in this church, with others from the First Down team, your young people have gone to Romania. It's gone to kind of serve and to witness and to be Christians who have gone outside their comfort zone. How brilliant is that? You're building in that sense of resilience and fearlessness into your young people at an early age. Thank you. How would you feel about doing what those young people did? You see? How would we feel about that? Don't be scared. Now, if I just think with you about the difference about going outside your comfort zone and relating to people who are different to you, just let's think about Philip and the Ethiopian official for a moment. They could not be more different, these two individuals. So, the Ethiopian official, he's described as a eunuch. And why is he a eunuch if he's a senior Ethiopian official, the treasurer to the queen of the Ethiopians? Well, you see, in those days, within royal families and within political regimes, there was an awful lot of political intrigue. And if you were going to serve within a royal family, unless you were part of that royal family, you were potentially a risk. What if the Ethiopian official was to have sexual relations with one of the royalty? What if there was going to be a separate royal line that this well-positioned Ethiopian could connect with in order that a new line of power could be established and he could be part of it? So they took a pretty radical step in those days. If you were going to serve as part of the royal family in the area of Cush or Candace, you were castrated so that you could not set up a separate line in defiance of the royal line. that was either something of choice or it was something that was done to you in order that you would then serve. So the Ethiopian official is from a different culture. He's from a different sexual minority. He's come an awful long way to travel this road. And then next to him, runs alongside the chariot, is Philip, who's a Greek-speaking Christian. You could not put two people more differently. And Philip, he's not scared to connect in this situation because the Lord's told him to. He's got a compulsion to do this. To the extent that this is a rich Ethiopian official who is traveling with a chariot. He's returning on a journey which is 1,000 miles after having worshipped in Jerusalem, and Philip is called to get alongside him. Now, we read in the scripture that Philip's actually got a run along the side the chariot to catch up with him. And it's a bit of a comic moment, but you've actually got this sense that Philip, in order to share the faith with this person, he's got to run alongside the chariot. He's moving forward. Have you seen the movie Ben-Hur? Do you know how fast chariots go? You know? What are you reading in your chariot? I'm reading the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Do you understand what it has to say? How can I understand it? Nobody's explained it to me. Would you mind stopping just for a minute? I'll jump in. Would that be all right? And then he stops. And he's able to connect with this. Don't be scared to connect. Put yourselves out in that situation. This is the chief financial officer of the country. He's a man of great power. He's a spiritual seeker. He's traveled 1,000 miles to go and worship in the temple. But you know what, brothers and sisters? He wasn't allowed in because he had been castrated. He was a eunuch. He was forbidden to go in. He's a spiritual searcher who cannot find in the religion that he's chosen access into the temple. And Philip says, let me explain to you how access is gained. Not through a temple made of stone, but Jesus Christ. And it begins with a question. When we're sharing our faith, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to respect the person who you're talking to enough to allow them to talk, to share with you what's on their heart. Ask them a question and then listen to the answer. You'll be amazed. We don't need to jump in with what we are going to say before we, as it were, listen to the heart of the person, and then we can respond appropriate. Begin with a question. And my second point relating to this is to encourage you to have a life which is a questionable life. And I mean that in a good way. I don't want you to have a questionable life in a bad way. I want you to have a questionable life which is a life that encourages people to ask questions about your faith. Is your life different enough or distinct enough that people notice a difference in you and want to have a conversation about that? Do you and I have a questionable life? Can we facilitate conversations with people by the life that we lead? One of my favourite Bible verses, which I was able to preach when I was with the First Down team in the cafe service a few months ago now, is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And it says, always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks the hope that is in you, but do so with gentleness and respect. And that's what Philip does here. With gentleness and respect, he answers the question of the Ethiopian official. He sits down beside him and he shares the love of Jesus. Begin with a question. And finally, your words should point to Jesus. You see, I want to remind you of something I think you know anyway, but Christianity is uniquely different from any other faith. Religions around about us are founded often upon a prophet or a philosophy which says, I am a prophet and a sage who has helped you to come to find God. I am a prophet and a sage who has helped you to find God. Christianity says, Jesus says, I am God, come to find you. It's completely different. I am God, come to find you. And so we can point to the fact that God loved us enough to come and find us. And that's what Philip unpacks in this fantastic passage as he expounds Isaiah to the official. He explains to him that the Ethiopian official's deepest needs are met in Jesus. Think about what the official has gone through in his life. Think about the way in which he has been mutilated. He's been isolated from his family. He's been put to work. He's gained power, but the opportunity for a line and a lineage has been taken from him. And he's reading the prophet Isaiah, verse 33 of our reading. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And this scripture is touching the heart and the life of this official. And through it, Philip can say, your deepest needs of isolation, of no lineage, they are met in who Jesus is. Jesus is the answer to your deepest need. Your name can be written in the book of life. Your name can go on for eternity in Jesus Christ. And what is true for that Ethiopian official, that's true for you and for me, and it's true for everyone else as we point to Jesus, as we share our faith in him with them. So do you know that for yourself? Are we ready to speak of that hope to our brothers and sisters with gentleness and respect, our neighbours and our friends, those to whom we cross the street for? And the Ethiopian official knew that this was a life-changing event. This was a life-changing conversation that he'd had, and he needed to stop, and he wanted to be baptized to mark this dramatic change that had taken place in his life. So when we share our faith in Jesus, I need to remember, and I encourage you to remember as well, that let our words point to who Jesus is and what he has done. And the amazing thing in this passage is the very first Gentile convert to Christianity is from a sexual minority, from a different race, a different ethnicity and nationality altogether. And this, amongst many passages in the Acts of the Apostles, points to the extent and the inclusion of God's love for all people everywhere. The Spirit wants to transform the lives of the rich and the poor, the old and the young, people from every nation and background. And he uses yours and my faltering words and our imperfect lives as the primary way to do this. Yes, he does. So will you play your part in this adventure? Will you be ready to walk across a room or talk to someone at a bus stop or reach out to somebody who is hurting and can find fulfillment in Jesus Christ? Because if you, like Philip, join in that adventure, you will be blessed and you will rejoice that God, in his grace, has chosen to use you to share the greatest news anyone could ever receive. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, your grace is amazing, that you would love me and reach out to me and bring me home, and that you so loved the world that you came for all nations and all peoples and all backgrounds to call everyone to yourself. Help us to be led by your Spirit, to be brave as you enable us, to be ready to speak of that hope that is in us, but with gentleness and respect. For we pray this in your precious name.